Colossians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. The Bible says this, "Though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him, rooted and built up in him, and establish in the faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Today what we're going to talk about is this faith in Christ that is the subject of the passage we just read. And there's some great things that Paul has said about our faith in Christ in this passage that we want to look at. For some of us today, what you're going to hear regarding faith in Christ is going to be new to you. And you're going to realize that now is the time for you to put your faith in Christ. And for others, your faith is in Christ, and yet it's not settled, or it's not established, or it's not growing and abounding. At some stage where we all are in our faith in Christ, we can benefit from the things that are in this passage. And so that's what we're going to preach today about that faith in Christ. They had, the Colossians, a faith in Christ that Paul could behold. Look again in verse 5. "Though I be absent in flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, joying," watch it, "and beholding," two things. First of all, your order, but secondly, the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Paul could behold that, even from a distance. There was something about the faith in Christ that was evident to him. And it wasn't just something they were saying about, yes, we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. There was something about what was going on with that faith in their lives, in the church, that allowed this to be evident. It was apparent. It was something Paul beheld and wrote about in this segment of the epistle to the Colossians. Now, their faith wasn't a religious expression. Their faith wasn't a religious expression like you hear people say today. Like, they'll say, "What faith are you?" Meaning, are you Jewish? Are you Methodist, Episcopalian, Catholic, Baptist? You know, what faith are you? And that's a religious expression of faith. That's not what he's talking about here. I remember one time visiting with a childhood friend of mine who I know, we were adults by this time, and I was talking to him about Jesus Christ and preaching the gospel to him. And when I finished, he said, "You know, I need to be more concerned about my faith." That's a religious expression. What he's talking about is my attendance to religious things. In other words, I need to say my prayers. I need to go to church more often. That's what he was saying. I need to be concerned about my faith. That's not what Paul was talking about here. Wasn't talking about going to church more. I remember visiting with Robert and Ori both when they were getting ready to go down to Kingsville or over to Reunion Island. I said, "The thing you're going to find out when you are witnessing to religious people that have not been practicing their religion, when you start talking to them about Jesus, they're going to get more religious. If you're talking to a nominal Catholic is one who knows they were baptized in the Catholic Church, have received some of the early sacraments, but they don't really go to church very often, if at all, just once in a while. And you'll start witnessing to them about Jesus, and they'll start going to Mass every Sunday." But he's not talking about that kind of faith. Not a religious expression, not a religious practice. He's talking about something else. This faith he's talking about is a true faith in the man Jesus Christ. It is a personal faith in Christ. It is a personal relationship. It is something that comes from trusting Jesus Christ as a Savior and then Not being idle right there. Oh yeah, I did that when I was in the fifth grade. Not being idle right there, but living it out and watching it grow. Paul could see that in the Colossians. And that's the faith we want to talk about today. This is the kind of faith that is in Christ, and it's the kind of faith that all of us have who have now trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. If you have it, you don't have that faith yet, but you can have that faith. And you can have that faith today, and your life will change as a result. Now notice that Paul first said about this faith that it was steadfast. Notice in verse 5, beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. You see that? It was a steadfast faith in Christ. Well, what is a steadfast faith? It is a faith that is firmly fixed in place. You get it in there and it stays in there. You know, people today are wishy-washy when it comes to faith in Christ. You'll even have people that say, are you saved? Well, I was back then, but I'm not now because I'm not living for it. And then, yeah, you know, but you're interesting me in maybe getting back with the Lord. That's a up and down, roller coaster, squirrel in the wheel type faith. On when you're running and not when you're not. Now, that's not the kind of faith that Paul was talking about at all. He was talking about a faith in Christ that is firmly fixed in Christ. We would say about that, his faith is rock solid. Got that? Now, to have this kind of faith in Christ, you first have to get saved. Notice what he says in verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Rock solid faith. Steadfast faith. Faith upon which you can build the rest of your life. Foundational faith starts by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you don't have it till you do. It doesn't come by going to church. It doesn't come by saying your prayers. It doesn't come by stating your religious affiliation. It comes by humbling yourself and recognizing as a sinner that all the stains of your sin need to be washed away in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes by you receiving Him. That's what it comes by. He said, as ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, Christ, you receive Jesus Christ the Lord when you hear the gospel. Okay, when you hear the gospel. Let me tell you quickly, briefly, what the gospel is. Most of you could stand up right now and recite it from memory. Okay? But perhaps there's some few of us here that can't. And I want you to know what the Bible says. The gospel is simply this, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is so important about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ? The death of the Lord Jesus Christ is where He shed His blood, that blood that we sang about when we were singing today, that washes away every stain of your sin. That old rugged cross that we sang about today, where Jesus Christ became your sin that you might become His righteousness when you receive Him. Jesus Christ died to pay for your sins. That's what He did. That's what He did. He came to die for your sins. And when He died for your sins, He paid for them so you wouldn't have to. That's what He did. Paid for your sins so you wouldn't have to. Now that's quite a gift. Bigger gift than any you've ever heard of before, because the Bible says greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We honor soldiers, sometimes even with the Medal of Honor, when they put their body in the way of a grenade blast or a bullet in order to take that for other soldiers who would have died if they had not shielded them with their own bodies from the blast, from the shot. You understand? We recognize among soldiers that is one of the greatest honors, one of the greatest sacrifices in the line of duty. That's what Jesus Christ did for you that nobody else in this world could do or would do. just so your sins would be paid for. That was his death. His burial was to prove that he really did die. And also to show that when you receive him, you can bury that old man with him and rise in newness when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. When he rose from the dead, you know, we say this from time to time, but I'm looking at Nakhon Sawan, where our friend Dr. Wayne Shemesh is a missionary. And I was curious about Nakhon Sawan, where they're ministering. Oh my, when you see the prominent places in the town where he's ministering, you see a massive Buddhist temple, massive statues of Buddha prominently placed where no matter where you are, you can see these figures. May I tell you something? They worship the Buddha, and the Buddha has not risen from the dead. Right? And on we could go through all the religions. I'm just saying, you are confronted now with a relationship with God Almighty through a risen Savior. He came up out of the grave. When he said he could give you eternal life, he's the only one of all the religious figures who ever did that. If you wanted to put your faith in something, put your faith in something that's real. The Bible says about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed, listen, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And that's what they're talking about. You know, I want you to understand something today about this gift of God of eternal life, this faith in Jesus Christ. I want you to understand something. For you to even be in church today, to sit and listen to the preaching of the Word of God, there's something of a curiosity in you. Let's say even an element of faith in you that you might hear something that you would be willing to believe about God Almighty and the Word of God. So there's an element of faith in you, okay? People are just absolutely against God, not believers, agnostics, atheists. They don't usually come to church on Sunday morning, and certainly not to a Bible-believing church, okay? So there's an element of faith there, and the Bible says, from faith to faith, the just shall live by faith. What you would hear today is faith in Jesus Christ. And faith in Jesus Christ is a different kind of faith than the faith you came in here with. What is it? The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God will give you sufficient faith. God will give you sufficient faith in Jesus Christ to trust Him as your Savior. Do you hear that? He will take the little bit of faith you have and magnify it with sufficient faith to believe in a God you cannot see, to believe a gospel that has been witnessed by others and recorded in a Bible so that you can be saved. And He'll save you by grace, not by your works. You're not good enough to save yourself, and He's better. And He's better enough to save you and all of us that are in here. That's a gift from the Lord. All right, so it starts with that. And if you have not yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, what we're talking about today begins with that. Do you understand? I have a truck out there that I drove over here today. And if you were going to borrow my keys and go somewhere, you would have to start that truck. You could sit in all day like a kid and play with the wheel and pull on things and push knobs and buttons and all. You could do all that. But until you put that key in there and, what do they say, crank it up, you're not going anywhere. And what cranks it up in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is for you to humble yourself and realize before God, I can't save myself. And there's not a religion that would make me good enough to get there. I'm going to put aside myself and accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's where it starts. But that's not where it ends. So many of us, when it comes to preaching the gospel, have it in mind, if he would just get saved, as if salvation is the end in itself, that if you can just get saved, that takes care of it. That's only the beginning. That's only the beginning. He intends for us then, after we get saved, to walk in that faith that Christ has given us. Look back in our text again. He says in verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, well, you receive Him by faith, so walk ye in Him. So the Lord intends for you, it's just like childhood, to be born through the belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then to begin nourishing yourself by drinking the milk of the Word, and then crawling as a baby does, and then walking as a baby does, and then walking as a adolescent does, or a kid does, and then as an adolescent, and then as a young adult, and then as a full-grown, mature Christian person. Our Christian life is like that. He wants you to walk in the same faith by which you were saved. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, for we walk by faith and not by sight. You can't see how to walk the Christian life by looking around you for signposts and GPS and street names and stuff. That's all by sight. You get in here, read this book, and the Holy Spirit begins to guide you, and you live by faith, knowing that an unseen God knows the unseen things before you and has a path for your life that He wants you to walk, and you walk that path, step by step, following the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep your finger where you are and turn with me to Psalm 25. Psalm 25, it's like this. Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. Notice what David wrote here. This is so good. Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. Notice what he wrote. Number one, show me thy ways. That's really good. You learn the ways of God in the Bible. God said, my ways are not your ways. You couldn't figure out God's ways if you had a God figuring machine. Doesn't work like that. He shows you His ways in here. You learn God in the Bible. So He says, first of all, show me thy ways, O Lord. And then He says, teach me thy paths. All right, so once He starts showing you His ways, then He starts showing you His path, because He's got a path for every life in here. And when He shows you that path, you start walking in the light of this Word along that path. But then watch it. Verse 5, lead me in thy truth and teach me. This is a marvelous passage of Scripture. So you come to the Bible and He shows you His ways. Then He teaches you His path. And while you're on that path, it's not guesswork. He leads you. He leads you along that way that you go, along that path that you go, so you are never in a place where you are unsure about whether you're supposed to be there. If you're in a place where you're unsure about whether you're supposed to be there, you didn't get there by faith. You didn't get there by steadfast faith. You got there by guessing, by thinking, by your way. And now you're like, I don't know if this is the right place for me to be or not. Listen, I don't want to move if I've got that much doubt. I want to go by faith, not by doubt. I want to go by faith, not by fear, right? And God will show you. He'll teach you. He'll lead you so you're not left to your own devices. I think that's marvelous. That's that path that He's getting you on. So go back to our text. And we see here then, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, that's what you do first, and most of us here have. So walk ye in Him, trusting that He'll show you the way, He'll teach you the path, and He will lead you in His truth. I don't know about you, that impresses me. That gives me confidence. That tells me I can trust the Lord. You don't end up in a maze where you punk, I made a wrong turn. And then, I mean, you're not just guessing, you're not just feeling your way through this. He shows you every turn. He shows you every step when you walk by faith. But then, He says in verse 7, rooted and built up in Him. Rooted and built up in Him. There's a prophecy in the Old Testament about Israel, and it says this, they'll take root downward and bear fruit upward, rooted and built up. They'll take root downward and they'll bear fruit upward, rooted and built up. Do you see the picture? rooted and built up. Those work together. It's not rooted only. It's not built up only. It's rooted and built up. Well, what is that? All right, here you are today. Many of us have already received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Thank God we're saved and we know it. And you started to walk, but it's a little unfamiliar. I say to you, the next thing is that faith that you have, you are to walk in. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So you get time in the Bible, and God clearly shows you three things: His paths, His ways, His paths, and His truth. And to show you the path, He'll show you the way, He'll teach you the path, and He'll lead you in the truth. That is I find a great deal of peace in that. I find a great deal of comfort in that. I was just thinking when we were singing about the point I just made there, because I'm getting ready to build on those two to the next one. I've had people tell me when I'm witnessing to Him, I don't need a crutch like that. That just shows that your ignorance of what we're talking about. We're not talking about crutches. What NFL superstar doesn't need a coach? Doesn't need a playbook? They all go by the playbook. They all go by a coach. And you know what? Every play, they look over to the sideline. And there's the coach. Now they even have microphones in the quarterback's helmets, and they call the play. There are people above the field in the press box that are seeing all kinds of things materializing, weaknesses and strengths on the field, calling down to the coaches, and the coaches calling to the team, and the defense is organizing and the offense is organizing. There's not a player on that field that doesn't need to know the way, to be taught the path, and to be led according to, right? I don't need a crutch like that. You don't know what you're talking about. You know what you're saying? I can be my own God and I will plan my own destiny. Well, I hope you like hot hell, because that's where everybody who's ever done that before winds up. It's foolishness. Foolishness. No, you do need somebody to do all that for you. So you don't just get saved and you're like, oh yeah, I did that like when I was in the fifth grade. And what's happened to you since then? That's not steadfast faith. That's something that died about the moment it first came into being. I would hate to live this life born again and living under my own direction after what I've learned about the Lord's direction. So you get saved, and then you get going with Him along that path that He has for you, walking in Him, and then rooted and built up in Him. Let me tell you something. That rooting, you know what that is? That's where you go deep in your relationship with the Lord. And the deeper you go personally in your relationship with the Lord, the more fruit that is built up on the top side. If you build a big building of your appearance on top of something that is not a foundation, it will collapse, just like the Pharisees. Buildings collapsed under them. They had no root. They had no foundation. You spend time in daily fellowship with the Lord God, and what comes up on the top side is something that only Jesus Christ can build. And that's why Paul looked at that and said, I can behold your steadfast faith in Christ. Because he knew there's no way you can get that kind of fruit. There's no way you can get that kind of building on that foundation if Christ didn't build it. Amen. These people that have some false, God's been so good to me, and they're never praying, never reading. It sounds so hollow. It sounds, ain't nothing in there. Boy, I'll tell you what, that faith established, it can start taking the rock and roll of this world, and it stands firm. Why? It's got a deep root. And it's got good fruit, lasting fruit. That's what you get. That's a growing, progressing Christian life. A steadfast faith starts with belief in Jesus Christ, gets along on His ways, His path, and in His truth, walking in Him, and then rooted and built up. That's what we're looking for. Steadfast faith. And then the second thing he says about this faith is this. Notice in verse 7 again, rooted and built up in Him, and watch it, established in the faith. It's steadfast faith, it's established faith in Christ. Established. There's a steadfast faith, and then there's established faith in Christ. Established faith in Christ. Now, what does that indicate? All right. Once you're in Christ, you start walking in faith and you're going along the ways and paths and in the truth of the Lord and getting rooted down and getting something built up, guess what's going to happen? In this world, what's going to happen? Boom. You are going to have a collision in this world with the world. Why? Because your own flesh doesn't like what Jesus Christ is doing in your life by faith. This world doesn't like what Jesus Christ is doing in your life by faith. And the devil doesn't like what Jesus Christ is doing in your life by faith. And so they're going to come after you. And you know what? Early on, when you first get a hit of adversity, you're likely to say, "Oh God, remove this from me. Oh God, this is not comfortable. Oh God, what's going on here? I'm living by faith. I'm walking by faith. I'm growing in faith. What's happening here?" You know what's happening here is adversity comes, but God uses that adversity to make you stronger, to establish your faith. You don't know how strong your faith is unless it's tested. Your faith won't grow without testing. I'm thinking about people that are in here that are familiar with working out in a gym where you pump iron and do exercises. Yeah, I know. You're laughing because you know I go to the gym and you're wondering why I don't look like that. Okay, I get that. Yeah, I know how that goes. But, you know, when you're my age, when you get to be my age, you will understand it is a maintenance program from here out. Yeah. Yeah, you don't stand in front of the mirror when you're my age. I look at those young ones in there and they're giving that. I say, "Oh, I didn't attempt it back then and I really won't do it now." You know, in those exercises, you know what you're doing? You are subjecting yourself to pressure at the maximum at times of your ability. And the whole process is tearing you down to build you up to make you stronger. That's how it works. It's a strengthening thing that requires resistance. It requires some suffering. That's why the signs inside the gym say, "No pain, no gain." It's not a cakewalk. Let me show you a couple things. Don't lose your place. First Peter, toward the end of your Bible. After Hebrews and James, 1 Peter chapter 1. God, listen, you wonder where God is? God allows those things to happen in your life. He wants those things to happen in your life. You need those things in your life. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 7. Well, 6 for the context, wherein you greatly rejoice. Verse 5. I keep going backwards. Who are kept by the power of God through what word? Faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Do you see that? The trial of your faith is like gold going through a fire. God's going to let it happen. And He's going to let it happen to establish your faith, to let you have confidence that your faith is strong, and to increase the strength of your faith. He'll let that happen. You know what happens the first time that a Christian hits that kind of thing in their life? They want to run from it. They want to ask God, like a child, "What are you letting this happen to me for?" And His answer is, "For your good." And you're like, "I don't believe that." But it is. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at this thing in verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist. What are the next four words? Steadfast in the faith. Well, haven't we been talking about steadfast faith? Okay, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered, how long? Longer than you wanted. A while. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. God's going to let it happen. Why? Because he wants to establish your faith in Christ. And Paul said to the Colossians, I can behold your steadfast faith. I see it. And I see that you're rooted in, I see that you're built up in him, and I see that you're established in the faith. That means they ran into conflict, and they went through the conflict and came out stronger than when they started. I'm reminded when Jesus Christ was preaching in Matthew, and he had a lot of things to say in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And when he got to the end, he talked about the people that day that heard his sayings. He said this, they heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. I'll tell you what I liken him to. I liken him to a man that built his house upon a rock. And the rains came, and the floods came, and the wind blew. And the house didn't fall. It stood. Why? Because it was founded on a rock. Rock solid faith. You see it? And it will not get solid without testing. You have to be tempted. Oh, if I can get through this life without ever being tempted to do that sin again, it would be so much easier. I wish God would just take that sin away from me. God a lot of times leaves those sins right in your pathway so that you are tempted with those sins. And then you rely upon him in faith and get by that sin that tempted you. And you did it in victory because of stronger faith, not because of a stronger Savior who took it away. You'll be weak all the time if somebody has to come to your rescue every time you are challenged in this world. It is always Christ in you. And it's always faith in Christ in you. But that doesn't mean the temptations are going away and the adversity is going away. He's going to use it to establish your faith in Christ. Steadfast faith in Christ, established faith in Christ, and then notice this, he says in verse 7 again, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught. Abounding therein, that is abounding in the faith, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding therein. So what kind of faith do we have? Steadfast. Established. Abounding faith in Christ. What does abounding mean? I mean, I think you already know. You got a picture in your mind what it means. It simply means possessing a great amount of. Possessing a great amount of. Here's the interesting thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. According to Romans chapter 12, verse 3, we are to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God knows just how much faith you need, and he deals to you that measure of faith. He knows just how much faith you need, and he deals to you the measure of faith for every person here. And may I tell you something? The measure of faith that he deals to you is always greater than the amount you need, abounding therein with thanksgiving. It's always greater. There's always more faith than what you need for what God has called you to do. There's always more faith to get you through everything that you face. Abounding in faith means it didn't just meet the minimum code. When we build buildings, they'll say, what's the code on that building? Well, that building can withstand 125 mile an hour wind for 2.2 seconds, and that meets the code in case we have a hurricane. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said they built that building, and the building can stand 250 mile an hour. Oh, it was Cade talking about the bridge. 250 mile an hour continuous wind. I said, well, the bridge will still be there, but I won't. That blow, boom, gone. He'd come gurgling up from that water. If you get out of your car and look up there and see that thing still going, okay. You know what that is? That's above. That's more than, right? Abounding in faith. Christ provides a great supply of faith, which is more than sufficient for every need. Look with me in 2 Thessalonians. This is the next book. 1 Thessalonians is the next book, and then 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at verse 3. I love this. Paul's writing to the Thessalonians, he said, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all aboundeth toward each other aboundeth. Faith groweth exceedingly. God always intended for it to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Why? Because then you could do more and more and more for Christ. And he said, with thanksgiving, because all of this faith we're talking about comes from being in Christ. It comes from Christ. So you understand the process we're looking at here today is simply this. There's so much more to salvation than getting saved. Some people are just hung up right there and they never got past that right there. He said, I want you to do way, way more than that. I want you to get it good and established where it's rooted and built up. Then I want to put it to the test so you and I both know that it's strong enough. And I'm going to let you suffer temptation from time to time and conflict from time to time and adversity from time to time. It comes at you sometimes expected, sometimes unexpected. And I expect you to be able to get through it every time. That will establish you in my faith. And then I want you to know this. As you keep on this journey, it will abound, abound, abounding faith in Christ with thanksgiving. You know, I hate the prosperity gospel. You know what I'm talking about? You get saved, you start coming to church, first thing they teach you about is giving. And I believe in giving, and I believe in giving abundantly, but I'm telling you, they'll take new Christians and start there and say the way to grow your faith is to start giving a lot. And they have no root and no strong building, and they can't take temptation, and half the time they're not even sure whether they're still saved or not. You see why I hate that? Because it's all about taking a very small infant and saying, what I want you to do is I want you to give me money so you can plant your seed of faith and let it grow. And that it's all about how big your bank account is. May I tell you, we hadn't talked about that today because this kind of faith is not about that. This kind of faith is talking about making you strong in Christ, where that steadfast, well-established, and abounding faith in Christ is so obvious in your life that other people can see it like Paul did, and they'll wonder, what is that you have that I need? I think some people say, I don't want that crutch of Christianity because they see a lot of Christians walking around limp like they're walking on a crutch. And they don't like what they see. I'll tell you what, if you see this kind of faith, you'll like it. But you don't get there overnight. It's a daily process that will go from now all the way till your life comes to an end or Jesus Christ returns. It's a life that you get to live by faith day after day after day. And I'm going to tell you something, having been on this journey of faith, this life of faith with Christ for a while, I'm aware of two things. I thank God it's not where it was when we started. And I thank God there's more to come because it keeps every single day interesting. There's no plateau. You don't get there and you don't arrive there where you can say, everybody look at me. You say that and you know what you're going to get, the biggest temptation you've ever seen in your life. And you'll find out it wasn't as strong as you thought it should have been. You want that kind of life? That life of faith? You want that kind of life? Do you want that kind of life of faith? That steadfast, established, abounding faith in Christ? Yeah. Then this is what you do. You apply yourself in the words of God to that way, that path, that truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and stand there with those temptations that come and recognize this is the kind of faith that Paul wanted the Colossians to have. This is the kind of faith that he wants us to have. And this is the kind of faith that is available to us now to live by that faith. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you today for instructing us out of the words of God. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. My first question obviously is this. Who's not on the faith journey yet? Who's not on the faith journey yet? Is there somebody here today who say, Preacher, you know what? I haven't even received him yet. You know what I would ask you to do is just raise your hand, and I'm not going to pester you about that or pressure you in any way. I'm going to pray for you. But I'm also going to make myself available that if you haven't received him yet, but you'd like to know more, I'll simply wait for you in the foyer. We can go back to the office, or you can set up an appointment. We'll talk about it more, and you'll learn more about faith in Christ and how to be saved. But I just want to know so I can pray for you. Is there anybody here today that's man enough, woman enough to simply raise your hand and say, Preacher, thank you, sir. I see your hand. That takes courage these days. I see your hand. He's saying, you know what? I hadn't even received him yet. Is there anybody else? I'm going to pray for that man. You want me to pray for you? Is there anybody else? I'm going to pray right now. Father, I thank you today for the opportunity to preach this message, and I'm thankful that there's a soul here to say, you know what? I'm not on that journey with Christ yet. I haven't received him yet, but I want to. I want to know more about it. I pray for him. He's come here. There's some faith already evidenced in that. And I'm praying that you will give him the faith of Christ to be able to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, where he can begin to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And put it in his heart, Father, how we are to get together and when we are to get together to discuss these matters for the sake of his soul. Now your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed and you found yourself. Let me ask you a question. I went through this and kind of showed you the major waypoints. Did you find yourself in this today? Do you know where you are? Do you know where you are? Do you know if you have just begun to walk in faith? Do you know whether you're rooting and now being built up in faith? Do you know if you've survived some temptation and now your faith is established? Do you know if you're abounding in faith? Wherever you are, that's where you need to deal with Christ. You need to pick it up right there where he is and what you've heard today. And let that faith begin to grow abundantly like it did with the Thessalonians and be demonstrated like it was with the Colossians. Don't leave here and just go, well, that was another good message. I learned some things today. And go back where you started when you got here. Pick it up from there and let the Lord lead you, show you, teach you, and lead you in growing faith. Father, we thank you. We ask you during this invitation to help us as we sing, meditate on these words not only now, but in the coming days, and to live by the faith that you've shown us here for Jesus' sake. Amen.